Good morning, Saints of the Most High God. This is Coach Shelby with Coach for Christ. I got a little word for you this morning, and we're going to go to the book of Hebrews, chapter 10. And in verse 32, it says, "But recall the former days in which after you were illuminated, enlightened, you endured a great struggle with suffering." Now, if you go to the word illuminated in the Greek, and I'll probably butcher it, but it's P-H-O-T-I-Z-O, photizo, to shine, to enlighten, to render evident, to cause to exist, to make to see. You know, Jesus came to open blind eyes. And the Bible says again in verse 32 that to recall the former days in which after you were enlightened, after you were blind and yet now you see. Come on now, brothers and sisters. That it was revealed to you to cause to exist, to see, to render evident, to become real in your life. Recalling the former days which after you were illuminated, you endured great struggle with suffering. You see, it's in the illumination that the struggles and trials come. It's all a part of God's plan. We spend way too much time, which any time at all is too much time to come against God's plan, that the born-again enlightened believer would begin to struggle is the exact desire of God to bring you to the place that He's called you to be. And that is to the place to reflect the glory and the image of His Son, Jesus Christ. And in verse 33, it says, "Partly while you were made a spectacle, both by reproaches and tribulations, and partly while you became companions of those who were so treated." Your friends are not your friends if they're not being treated in such a manner as the word just spoke. If you're not being persecuted, and whatever that looks like in your life, I'm not the author of that. But if trials and tribulations are not coming against you, then you have not been illuminated. You have not been enlightened. For in verse 34, it says, "For you had compassion on me in my chains," and this is Paul talking, I believe, "and joyfully accepted the plunder of your goods, knowing that you have a better and an enduring possession for yourselves in heaven." You have a better possession in heaven. You see, those who've been illuminated, those who have had their blind eyes open and now they see, those who have allowed God to exist, the Word to be first place in their lives, they have rendered Him evident in their walk, in every facet, in every way. They have joyfully accepted the plunder of their goods. Now, we're talking about worldly goods, earthly things, jobs, monetary things, material things, however you want to say it, because you know that you have a greater possession, and you know that you're just a pilgrim passing through this place. You know this is not your home. And because it's not your home, you don't conduct yourself as if it were. And in verse 35, "Therefore, do not cast away your confidence, which has great reward." Don't quit. I like the way the Bible says that those who endure to the end shall be saved. And I believe that's in Matthew 24:13. Don't quote me. It's somewhere in that neighborhood. But the word endurance is where we gather the word in Greek, hupomino, which basically means to stand. And let me read some commentary to you on that, if you will. Amen? We're going to read to you hupomino, and I'm going to praise God. The word for endurance here: consistency, perseverance, continuance, bearing up, steadfastness, holding out, patient endurance. Or let me say patient endurance. The word combines hupo, to remain. It describes the capacity to continue to bear up under difficult circumstances. It describes the capacity to bear up under difficult circumstances. This is not your home. Those are not your things. That's not your money. It's all submitted to God, and you're a steward to do with it that which He desires. But it matters not to you if it disappears at this moment, because this is not your home, and you're storing up for a better place. A place that is your home, a place that is found in God, and yet the kingdom of God resides within those who've been illuminated and believe. And it goes on to say, not with a passive complacency. Endurance is not passive. Endurance is not passive. Get that down in your soul. But with a hopeful fortitude that actively resists weariness and defeat. It resists the defeat of this world. It resists the ideology of this world. And the Bible goes on to say, for we have need, and this is in verse 36 of endurance, so that after you have done the will of God, you may receive the promise. After you've done the will of God. For yet a little while, and he who is coming will come and will not tarry. Now the just shall live by faith, but if anyone draws back, my soul has no pleasure in him. The just shall live by faith. And you would be wise to go on into Hebrews chapter 11. Because in verse 39, I know I'm bouncing back and forth, but the Holy Ghost is leading. Gather it up, my brother, sister. We are not of those who draw back to perdition, but of those who believe in the saving of the soul. But those who believe in the saving of the soul, we are not of those who believe to destruction, but of those who believe to the saving of the soul. In the faith chapter of Hebrews 11, talks about Abel who offered a sacrifice that was pleasing to God. And Enoch, who was taken away because he pleased God. And it talks of Noah, who was divinely warned, and he pleased God. All of these men suffered. They suffered tribulation in this life. One who offered his sacrifice, Abel, was murdered. I can't promise you what's going to happen, but I can promise you what's going to happen. I can promise you the eternal reward God has promised to those who love him. Noah was no doubt persecuted. As a fool who was building an ark in a place where there was no water, that made no sense to the people who mocked and made fun until the first raindrop fell. Abraham was accounted unto him as righteousness because he believed God, but he failed over and over again. You got to grasp and get a hold of what I'm telling you. He even went to a particular king and said his wife was his sister, which is true, but a partial truth and deception is still a lie. But God still called him a man of faith because he believed God. You see, God is not bound up by your failures, but he is driven by what you believe. Without faith, you'll receive nothing from God. They'll know you by your faith. And it goes on to talk about Sarah, who laughed when she was told she was going to conceive, but yet she's still referred to as a woman of faith. I could go through this Bible all the way through. I could talk about Moses, who murdered and who had a speech impediment or a stuttering problem, whatever the case may be, but he went to the school of the burning bush and everything changed. You see, the Bible does not teach of men and women of sinless perfection. It teaches of men who believe God, and it's accounted unto them as righteousness. That is faith, and the faith that God has given you, tie into God, believe in God. It's not that you stumbled. The stumble is there to test what you really believe. And the stumbling will continue. And when I say the stumbling, the persecution, the tribulation, the trial, but believe God. I can't help but to recall many years ago when I was laying in bed and God said, they'll know you by your faith. It's not the mistakes that you've made, but who you believe. Don't look back. You know, verse 15 of Hebrews chapter, let me see where I'm at, my brothers and sisters, 11. It says something. It says, and truly, if they had called to mind that country from which they had come out, they would have had opportunity to return. You see, a true born-again believer doesn't look back. Luke 9:62, any man having put his hand to the plow and looks back is not fit for the kingdom. We don't look back on those things. We don't regret what has happened in our lives, but we look forward unto the altar and finish for our faith, because today you're closer to seeing Jesus than you've ever been. We don't look back. And in verse 25 and 26, if I'm right, these folks choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the passing pleasures of sin. Moses, he chose not to enjoy the riches of Egypt, of the old life, but to suffer the reproach to be a man of God, to walk with God's people, esteeming the reproach of Christ greater riches than the treasures in Egypt. He looked to the reward. And you and I too today, brother and sister, must look to the reward. As God told me years ago, and I little understood what I say today, and I'm sure I'll know more tomorrow than then, because God is teaching me. I'm in the school of the Holy Ghost. I'm learning. They'll know you by your faith. To believe God. We have such a tendency to focus on a tribulation trial as if it wasn't from God, because we don't spend time with God and we don't spend time in the Word of God. We listen to these heaped up teachers, people with itching ears, these candy-coated preachers, the ones that preach the dessert of the Word of God, and they never get to the meat and the potatoes. They're still on the milk. You see, a baby is not able to handle endurance and tribulation. Daddy feeds the baby. Mama feeds the baby. But you're not a baby anymore. There's a time to where you're weaned and you must walk in the ways of God and get ready. But look up, behold, the Lamb of God is nearer than he ever was. My brother and sister, have a great Saturday. The rain is falling. Let the rain fall on your soul. Let Jesus be the captain of your ship today. In his glorious, mighty, mighty name.